Well, good day again, Southwesterners Forum. We are thrilled to be here as we prepare for what hopefully will be a relaxing summer for many of us. We acknowledge the reality that we have a number of significant holidays that are coming up. And one of those significant holidays in the life of the country that we live in is the 250th anniversary of our country on July 4th. And today we have the opportunity to be with Dan Darling and Ben Bolin, who serve in unique roles both in and around Southwestern. I'll introduce them and let them introduce themselves in a second. But we're going to have a discussion around the role of patriotism in the church and the 4th of July. So I'm looking forward to the time. Dan Darling serves as an instructor in Texas Baptist College and Southwestern Seminary. Dan, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself as we jump into the discussion here.
Yeah, so I'm here at Southwestern leading the Land Center for Cultural Engagement and teaching at Texas Baptist College. We have a faith and culture concentration, as you know. And so I teach some of the classes like Intro to Christian Ethics and Intro to Christian Apologetics, as well as classes like Christianity and Government and things like that. I've been a pastor. I've served at the ERLC for about 8 years and contribute to a fair amount of writing to places like World Magazine and other outlets like that.
And you write books like it's a hobby. What are you currently writing right now?
Yes, I do write books. I mean, I've got my book on patriotism that we're going to talk about and then a few other projects I'm working on. And I'm also a member at Travis Avenue Baptist Church.
There we go, which is a great segue in introducing Ben Bolin. Ben is a Southwesterner working on a doctorate degree right now. I saw him all of last semester pull up on Monday mornings and then with his backpack on trudge into class from my front porch. So Ben, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, including how long you've been serving at Travis Avenue as the senior pastor.
Awesome. Yeah. Ben Bolin, been serving at Travis now for 2.5 years. In the lead teaching pastor role, and served before that in Minnesota, helped with NAM, helped take over kind of a church plant and help establish that in New Prague, Minnesota, and then came and began working my PhD and almost done with those seminars, that drudging through the backpack. We're getting close.
Good, man. And then the writing begins, and that's the real fun part, right?
then it all begins. That's right.
Then it all begins. All right. Well, let's jump into this discussion because I think it's going to have a significant impact and mean something to churches as we think about the topic of politics today. Now, there are few things in America, particularly that impact the church and how people feel about the church more than politics. So, Ben, what effect do you see politics having on local congregations today from your seat as a pastor?
Yeah, I think it's doing in the church what it's doing in culture. And that is, as people move to extremes, we're seeing the divide grow further and further apart. And then it's becoming an area of contention in the church as it is in culture. And I don't think, I think in many ways, the old Mark Twain quote, don't talk about religion and politics. Well, in the church, we talk about religion, but politics now are becoming almost that let's not address them or just put them aside because we can't seem to have a conversation that's not going to end in people getting very upset or walking out or whatever that may be. And so you do see people leaving the church over political issues and not theological ones, but where people have become so ingrained in where they're at that they to worship alongside of someone else becomes difficult. And so I think we are struggling defining and embracing a biblical worldview on this issue. And I think that's particularly where, Dan's book is really helpful, helping us to recognize patriotism, often defined as action and emotion. I think what Dan does is primarily tell us it's a heart posture issue first, and that provides perhaps a way forward into a conversation that's desperately needed in the church.
Okay. All right. So, Dan, we understand that as followers and as Southwesterners, the Bible is our authority, and we think from hopefully a Christian worldview. But before we get into that, help us understand just kind of a Webster's Dictionary analysis and definition of what nationalism is mm-hmm. and what patriotism is in the most secular terms right now.
Yeah, I mean, those are kind of evolving definitions too, right? I think you take the word nationalism, you know, it depends what you mean by that. Some use that to describe any kind of feelings of patriotism. You know, people are accused of nationalism. So if you are a Christian who loves your country and, you know, is involved trying to shape public policy, you're a nationalist. But I do think there is a subset of people. It's a small group, but they're fairly loud, who go beyond, I think, patriotism and would like to see the country, the state become more expressly Christian, maybe even a state church, all those kinds of things, which, you know, the founders didn't want. And I think as Baptists, we don't want. One of the core tenets of Baptist theology is that the state should not compel people to believe in a certain way. I think patriotism is much different. You know, patriotism is a love for country. At the most basic level, it's gratitude. It's gratitude for the place God has placed us. I think Acts 17, when Paul talks about God has placed people in the borders and places for a purpose and for a reason, it's about thinking about our history. It's loving our ideals, even if we haven't always lived up to our ideals in America. And I think for a Christian, when I see, you know, passages like Jeremiah 29, where the exiles are told to seek the welfare, the flourishing of their city, we consider ourselves as exiles. We're citizens of the kingdom of God first, but he has put us here. And I don't know how we can seek the welfare of a city that we despise or we're apathetic about. And then I think about Jesus' command to love our neighbors ourselves. If we're to love our neighbors around us, I think we should care about the policies that affect their flourishing. And we can do all this while putting God first. And if we put God first, then all these lesser allegiances like country and family will all be in their place and we'll manage them well. I think when that gets out of alignment and we maybe start to worship the country over God, then that's where things get out of alignment.
Okay. All right. So Ben, like feet on the ground, rubber meets the road, whatever illustration you want to put there, what does discipling a congregation toward a healthy biblical posture of patriotism look like? And how do you foster this posture and character among the flock that has been entrusted to you under the authority of Christ?
Yeah, well, I think it looks like something probably not to the extremes that we've talked about, right? There's a reality of pulling those who would say, every service is a discussion on whatever is the hottest news topic or political topic. Why isn't the pastor addressing it all from the pulpit? And to the one who would say, it should never be brought up. So I think the first thing we have to realize is a foundation. You probably have to be proactive in these discussions instead of reactive. Cause I think what I found even in my own ministry, when the big political story hits or when something happens and your church is reacting to it and now there's pressure, are you going to react to it or not? If we haven't laid a foundation, as Dan talked about, of this heart posture of this seeking the good of the country, then it's really hard for it not to be swept away into an event versus the heart issue of patriotism that then will provide a lens that we can talk about these events. So I think a proactive response is best. And then I think you have to give people room to think and express with appropriate reflection with scripture. And so one of the things we did this last month is Dan did a 4-week series for us as a church on Wednesday nights, talking through this with questions and answers. And many brought strong beliefs in there, but to allow a place for those to be expressed and then challenged through scripture and redirected or affirmed, I think is a healthy place for a church to be. So to kind of create that environment. And then, as Dan said, to define patriotism, as I've processed this in my own life, I think I grew up with patriotism meant singing certain songs you know, waving flags, actions and emotions. But the way that Dan defines it as a heart posture, as a gratitude, as an honor, as seeking the good of the city, that's something every believer should respond to. And so at church, modeling that before our people doesn't mean the giant flag that covers, you know, the cross in the back or whatever it may be, but that every time we have the opportunity and when holidays arise, we're going to demonstrate gratitude. We're going to demonstrate honor and we're going to seek the good. And that's a part of our patriotism that we want to model before the people. And so utilizing those holidays, I think are really important, not just acting like they don't exist, but through a heart posture of worship to God and honor to where he's put us in this society. I think that's where you disciple, your people toward a healthy biblical posture of patriotism.
All right. So Dan, in your book, you talk about Jonah and you talk about Jonah from a unique lens. What's the lens by which you look at that story? And why don't you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, I try to provide two examples. One I mentioned earlier about the exiles in Babylon. And you know, they wanted to sort of huddle together and not be build roots in this new strange land. They considered themselves citizens of another kingdom, of another place. And the prophet said, no, actually, God has a plan for you here. You know, build roots, plant, get married, seek the good of the city. Yes, even Babylon, which is a you know, difficult place for you to live. So that's a good, healthy way, I think, to think about patriotism. I think an unhealthy way is Jonah. And, you know, Jonah is an example of someone who loved his country deeply. And we know that from some of the backstory and history of Jonah. But when God told him to go to Nineveh, he obviously refused. And one of the reasons he refused is not only was he scared because, you know, these were bloodthirsty savages there in Nineveh that were, you know, known for killing people and all that stuff. But also the main reason is he says that it's not that I don't think God couldn't save him. It's that I don't want him to, right? He had such a love for his own country. It kind of blinded him to the nations. And I think that's a disordered patriotism. I wouldn't even call it patriotism. I almost call that a form of like nationalism or something where, you know, all you see is your country and your people and you don't see the nations. And I think as Christians, that can be a danger. That can be a threat. And I really try to work through what Augustine talks about in ordering our loves. You know, a lot of times this is presented as a binary choice. You either love God or love your country. And sometimes it comes down to that, right? If your country tells you to do something that's against scripture, you have to, as Peter says, we obey God rather than man. But most of the time it's about ordering these things. And Augustine talks about having these in the right order. C.S. Lewis talks about this in his book, The Four Loves, where, you know, I've had people tell me, well, I couldn't pledge allegiance to the flag because we only pledge allegiance to Christ. Well, we can have Christ as our highest allegiance and have lesser allegiances, right? When I got married 23 years ago, I stood at the altar and I essentially pledged allegiance to my wife. Now, the pastor didn't say, well, Dan, you have to choose between loving God and loving your wife. No. If you love God supremely, then you'll love these other things in their right place. And when we get that out of order, that's bad, right? So if I expect my wife to do for me things only God can do, I'm not going to be a good husband. I'm going to be constantly disappointed, the expectations, same with my children. And it's like that with our country. You know, if you love your country above everything else, above the nations, you're going to be disappointed constantly when things don't go your way, when elections don't go your way. You're going to divide against one another. You're going to have a myopic view and not love the nations. And so I think having it in the right order is the proper perspective. It's not about one or the other. It's about the right ordering. And we can love America as American Christians. We can love our ideals. We can love the place God has given us, you know, every perfect gift comes from above, and we feel like this is a good gift. We're what privilege to live here. We can do that and still obey the Great Commission and have a heart for the nations and love the nations and see America just as one part of God's grand plan for eternity and for the nations. And so I think having that balance is really key.
That's great. So we started off by saying Southwesterners, we believe the Bible. And as Southern mm-hmm. Baptists, we believe the Bible deeply right. and rightly as the authoritative word of God. So, Ben, what are other passages of scripture that help inform patriotism and what that can look like?
Yeah. Well, I think if you see it as this gratitude and honor and seeking the good of your city, it really opens up a lot of passages to do that. As Dan talked about Jeremiah 29, this seeking the flourishing or the peace of the city. I think that concept, the Old Testament concept of shalom and desiring others to see that, obviously through Christ first, but that we would be active participants in helping where God has placed us make an impact. And so with that, you bring in 1 Peter 2, and honoring the emperor is not just obeying the emperor, but it's seeking the good of those around us, and with seeking the good of the leadership that they might flourish in their leading of us well, even when the leadership isn't who we agree with, as Peter's talking about. Romans 13, another example, to give honor, I think to obviously pay taxes and respect and then honor, all of these speak to patriotism. But one of the ones that I love the most is when you look at Jesus and John at Hanukkah, at the Feast of Dedication, not a biblical feast. And yet Jesus is there with his fellow folks participating in what might be a patriotic celebration, and then draws people to the attention of who Christ is and the light of the world. But you don't see him rejecting those things. You see him actually right in the middle of it, seeking the good of those that he's around. And I think that's a good model for us. We don't have to reject that. We can be right in the middle of it, pointing people to Jesus.
That's great. Okay. All right. So we've talked about, Ben, from your perspective, how to do this in the context of a local church. And Dan, you've observed that this kind of lone ranger mentality can make things difficult to navigate faith and politics. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think, churches operate best. And I think we could speak even here about the Southern Baptist Convention, but even the wider network of evangelical churches that, as we seek the welfare of our cities and our nation, working together with people who fellow Bible-believing Christians, I think sometimes churches, we can be tempted to kind of be withdrawn into ourselves and think we have to do everything in a community or everything in the country. But working with people, particularly fellow Christians, Southern Baptists cooperate together, but even beyond that, we cooperate with others who share our values and things like that. I think that's really important. And I want to get back a little bit to what Ben was saying, the Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 really give us a sense of how to think about our relationship to the state. Here those, the apostles were writing to a church that was marginalized. They were growing, but they didn't have much agency in the Roman Empire, Greco-Roman world, the Roman Empire. They would not have voted for Nero, and yet what should I do? And it's honor the emperor. Now, honoring and patriotism doesn't mean we agree with everything. And sometimes patriotism means speaking up against things that we disagree with because we love our country. Sometimes it means we have to say no when there's laws that tell us to violate the scripture. I think in America, it's particularly interesting because we have a share of power. We're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So when you read Romans 13, I think it's not just holding our leaders accountable, it's holding us accountable for how we steward that vote and that, that our citizenship. So I think it's incumbent on us to steward that well and do that in a way that honors the Lord. And I think, churches, Ben talked about this earlier, but, pastors are under a lot of pressure in different ways to speak on different things. And, I think pastors do it best when they speak what the text says, right? And there are some things scripture is very clear on that we should be clear on. There's a lot of other areas where I might have a strong opinion, you may have a strong opinion, but it's not an area where the Bible speaks clearly. And so good Christians can disagree on that. And we don't need we don't need pastors to be pundits. You know, I think people don't need on Sunday what they get Monday through Friday. They need to hear a word from the Lord. They need to hear something different. And I think pastors, when they do that, really honor the Lord. And I think most of our pastors are doing that, right? I think the narrative sometimes in the media is that every evangelical church is political every Sunday. And the truth is, no, I think most churches are preaching the word, giving the gospel, you know, following Christ and speaking to issues when they arise and when it's important.
That's great. Okay. All right. So talk about stewardship, talk about handling the word well and engaging these things as they come up in the text and in the current moment. So Ben, how do you see the local church playing a role in encouraging and discipling congregations to helpful engagement in the public square? Like, what does that look like? Okay, this is what the word says is the moment. Now go and do what?
It's a great question. Go and in our areas, how do we integrate this faith that is changing us into our workspaces in our political areas? I think first, primarily, like we've said, we model it. And I so appreciate what Dan said. I do think there is a pull to preach to the issue instead of the text. And that's where I think modeling it in the whole life of the church versus the pastor getting up and trying to catch up with current events is really the only way to do it. You're not going to do it well. But then also I think it's highlighting those that are doing those things well. How do we model honoring our veterans? How do we honor those who've passed away, like for Memorial Day this week, or police officers or politicians? And how do we do so in the life and community of our church to say, as a Christian, look at what God's called one of our fellow believers to do. And we want to stand alongside them, walk with them, encourage them in that. And so I think that's a big part of it. And then I think how we model active participation in our city plays a role in it. It's yes, you can say go and do this, but how are we providing opportunities to say, come alongside of us as we address this need? Because we want to seek the good of the city. And guess what? There may be political influences here too. And we're going to model how to respond, how to invite, how to be there. I think to show up is one of the greatest opportunities that the church has. To show up to a town hall meeting or to a city council meeting, to be able to speak, to address. These are all things that I think are manageable steps that hold the proper tension of a well-ordered love. I would say I think I learned a lot. I had a neighbor in Minnesota who was a Marine Special Forces in Vietnam, and not a believer at the time, and got to connect with him, and over a 5-year relationship, saw him soften to the gospel and eventually come to trust Christ. Amen. But watching him process Memorial Day was a completely different idea. The way he honored, because to him it wasn't just a hypothetical. They were names and faces to him, and really struggled with that. And when we were discussing baptism, he said, "I want to be baptized on Memorial Day weekend because I want there to be a positive of what has been a difficult holiday." But I began to think to myself, you know, I don't honor enough some of these things. And in a rightly ordered love, there is room to learn and to honor well. And so if we can demonstrate that and allow those who have experienced that the opportunity to help every generation in the church rightly order our loves, then I think that's how we make it practical in our everyday life.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, guys, thank you all so much for your thoughtfulness. Dan, we look forward to engaging in this work. We look forward to celebrating over the summer all the various holidays that are coming up. And we're thankful for both of you as you serve and lead the Bride of Christ in Fort Worth. So thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you.